show you where they're going to be so you'll know. Here's the speaker.
Right. Yep.
So the first chair is here. And
perfect.
See, we're right by the ramp that goes up
yep.
on the stage.
Yep, it's good.
So then there's 10 chairs.
Yep.
Go down to here.
Yep.
Testing, 1, 2, 3, testing.
Are there a couple of issues that you'd like to?
Well, the
speakers are going up in front past me. It would.
Yes. Yes.
Even though our back will be to you, we're in the first row.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I didn't get a chance to shake your hand, sir.
Hi there.
George Holliday.
Hey, George Holliday. I met you a long time ago.
A very long time ago.
Why don't I make an announcement to get all the candidates to the front of the room?
Yep.
Where's your microphone? Here.
There you are.
Thank you. Would all of our candidates for office please make your way to the front of the room? All candidates for both ACB Board of Directors and Board of Publications, please make your way to the front of the room.
Halfway across the world to the board.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're sitting up front here. So as spectators, if you all sit up in these front tables before the front aisle, that'll be good, and we'll sort of spread out. We're just in this corner on this.
On this side of the room.
So, yes.
It's Mike. I haven't had the opportunity to say hello.
Hey, I was. You are such a neat guy.
We were hugging in hallways the other day, him and I.
Yeah, I was. But besides being a good guy coming to Pennsylvania, I said, this guy really understands this stuff.
Why, thank you.
No,
you're on.
Yeah, you stay right. Yeah. So I'm facing you, and you're on the right. Then all the, I don't know what this means, but all the board members are on the left.
Wait a minute, I gotta move. I'm definitely not left. I definitely don't lean left. Robert, you're on the right end of the left side.
Okay, good. Yeah. That works.
That counts for something.
I do consider myself a moderate, so.
Well, you're close to, listen, you're close to the middle.
Okay.
If that means anything.
That works. That works. I can deal with it.
There's four of the six of you here. Here comes the fifth of the sixth.
Excuse me.
Tell everybody. We aren't quite ready to start yet, but I want to give the candidates an opportunity to know what the rules are going to be for this little exercise. And it also might help for the management or the audience to know, because you guys are the management, to know what exactly is going to happen over the next little while. So this is the game plan. My lovely co-host, Miss Janine Stanley from the Board of Publications, and myself will be the voices of reason perched.
It'll be a first.
That's right. Perched quietly between the ravening lions of the audience and the terrible tigers of the candidates. What we hope to do is to begin by giving each candidate an opportunity to make a one-minute statement. And we will begin with the five board positions and each of the candidates for those board positions. And then we will move on to the Board of Publications. At the end, I'm going to ask people to be even briefer, but I will give everybody an opportunity at the end to make a 30-second statement based on what's happened in the evening, and we'll go in the other direction. We'll have the Board of Publications folks go first, and then the board go second. In between, we're going to do two things. The first thing that we're going to do is we're going to ask questions that we will be directing each group to answer. There are a couple of questions that we think it's actually appropriate for everyone to answer, and there are some questions that we think are just appropriate for one or the other, and we'll kind of play with that. And then after that, we're going to allow for the opportunity of members of the audience or listeners on ACB Radio to raise questions. For members of the audience, if you would, once we ask you if you're desirous to ask a particular question of either of the groups, please jump up and come out into the aisle so that Jay can see you, and he will provide you with a mic in order to ask your question. Probably not more than two questions. It is my hope that that this exercise will be over by 8:15, 8:30. That would be my hope, but we'll see.
I do have for our timer.
The internet questions, I'll have to run back there.
It's right.
Mm-hmm. It's about 30 miles to the...
Yep.
Yes.
Larry doesn't have a mic back there.
Uh-huh.
I can give it, I guess.
Yep.
I do have for our time.
Mm-hmm. Good. Hey, which ones? Okay. Guess we didn't have.
Excellent. So, are there any questions from the candidates?
All right, good evening, everybody. We are here at the Candidates Forum, and I'm going to let things go up to the house.
I'm hearing none.
And I do have, for the when your 1 minute is up, I have... Okay.
All right, if there's a question from the candidates, go ahead.
Can we rotate on our order as candidates as to who answers first?
Yeah, what we, I mean, we've typically tried to get really cute. You guys could make it easy for me if I could give you a hard exercise to do first. And that is, if you guys would actually sit in alphabetical order, that'd be really cool. Because then I would know where you are.
Then at least some of us would know the alphabet.
Alphabetically, last name or first name?
Last name, please.
Last name, please.
Okay, I think John is going to engineer that.
Yep.
Stuart method, that time when I was doing the last candidate's forum, was that I put all my questions in my left pocket, and when I asked, put it in my right pocket.
That's good.
So then I couldn't. Once I asked it, it was done.
Yep.
Excellent.
Check.
Check. It came to me. Mm-hmm.
Assuming you've written them down.
Yeah. Okay. I think we may have.
Okay.
I'll revise my statement. Mm-hmm. 25 people.
Mr. Turnbull, how are you doing, sir?
We are on the air. We are live.
Thank you, sir.
Do you have a timer?
Yes.
Want me to run anything?
Ladies and gentlemen of the audience and candidates, you could do the alphabetical. So let's see. That's Campbell, Dickerson, and Edwards.
All right, they're going to allow listeners out there on ACB Radio to ask any questions of the candidates.
What I will actually
what I'm going to ask you to do
is
fire those questions to me via MSN, request at acbradio.org. Actually, no, it's not request. It's convention at acbradio. Yeah, it's convention at acbradio.org. Note that. And relate those messages to me. That'll get them to me faster, and I can send those questions up to the floor.
Holiday. Yes. Peterson. Yep.
Yes.
And Jeff Thomas. And then Board of Publications.
I'll let Paul Edwards announce who the candidates are, since he's running this meeting. So he will be presenting those candidates here very shortly.
Jackson.
And I'm here, Donna, for my question.
Oh. Well, you don't have to be out now, chill. Oh, you're gonna ask it then, Donna? Cool.
You're on mic.
Sit down and relax.
You're gonna ask it.
Again, you're listening to coverage of the Candidates Forum here at the 49th Annual Convention of the American Council of the Blind here in Phoenix, Arizona, right here on ACB Radio Mainstream.
Dresser Hodge Jackson.
And Stuart Arnold.
Thank you, Mr. Gormley.
You are welcome, Mr. Edwards.
I appreciate it, sir.
Well, I didn't have to work on a paper today, so I can think about something else.
There you go. Are you back in school?
No, I was helping Sharon put the paper out. I was collating papers all week. So,
okay.
Janet Dickelman.
Yep.
Okay.
I wonder if you need to.
She has been.
Yep. Should I take a run down and see if she's still there?
Yeah, you can.
She wasn't there. Yeah. She wasn't.
Okay.
Does anybody know what her room number is?
We walked right by.
Anyway, it's not our business.
What time is it?
Now. Mr. Larry, 30 seconds?
What's that?
30 seconds, sir?
We're already live on the air, so go. You can start.
Very good. Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Paul Edwards. I am chair of the American Council of the Blind's Board of Publications. And every year it is our privilege as the Board of Publications to put together what is called a candidates forum. This candidates forum gives candidates an opportunity to let the members of ACB know what their feelings are about current issues with regard to ACB, and also gives the members of ACB the opportunity to ask candidates specific questions. This evening, we're going to follow a format. I should also say that I am privileged to have as my co-hostess the other appointed member of the Board of Publications, Ms. Janine Stanley. Say hello, Ms. Janine.
Hello, Ms. Janine.
She says it well. And Janine and I will alternate questions, and by the time that the evening is over, you'll know much more about the candidates that there are for the American Council of the Blind Board of Directors, and much more about the candidates that there are for the Board of Publications. To begin with, what we're going to do is to allow each candidate to make a one-minute statement, and at the end of that 1 minute, Miss Jeanette will...
I want to see how yep. many names he calls me this evening.
I'll invent. Miss Janine will ring a little bell, which sounds like.
Which sounds like.
There you are. And we will expect whoever is speaking to stop pretty quickly after that. Though we'll probably let you finish the sentence as long as it's not a compound complex one. So. Without further ado, let me provide a picture for those who are listening in the radio audience and for those in the audience who can't see. In front of Janine and myself are the candidates. And good. And essentially what we've done is we've asked the candidates for the board to sit in alphabetical order, and the candidates for the Board of Publications to sit in alphabetical order. This is simply to enable those of us who are trying to run the program to have some notion of who is sitting where. So I will introduce each of the people who will have an opportunity to speak, and I think actually we're going to go in the opposite direction than the one that I had originally planned, simply because of the fact that there is one of our board folks who is missing, and I don't think I want to try to start off with everybody getting an equal opportunity to be heard. Though there are probably those who will say that that demonstrates partiality. So let's begin then with the Board of Publications in alphabetical order. Starting from the bottom up. So we will start with Mr. Ken Stewart.
Shall I wait for the mic or go to the mic?
It's coming.
Thanks, Jay. Yeah, this is Ken Stewart. I am on the slate for the Board of Publications tomorrow for another term. I'm completing a term now. I'm from New York. My experience with ACB includes being the past president of CCLVI. I'm currently the president of the chapter serving the New York and New England area. I'm currently the chair of the Fitness Equipment Equity Task Force. I serve on the voting task force with Jeff Tom. I serve on the walkathon committee. And I have, as I say, I'm a member, elected member of the Board of Publications now, and we've been working very hard the last 2 years, but with a great bunch of people. The chemistry is just terrific, the collegiality, and we're getting together very well. We've been putting in long meetings every month, and there's a lot on the agenda of the Board of Publications that I'm eager to continue with. That includes dealing with the social networking question, negotiating new contracts for the Braille Forum, and the acoustics are very bad in here, so I don't think I heard anything just now. So I'll go right on. Okay. Acoustics are getting better. Thank you. I'm passing the microphone.
Good evening. I'm Judy Jackson, and I don't do anything that I don't absolutely enjoy doing, so I'm just going to tell you by way of introduction a few things that I do. The most important love of my life are my two wonderful teenage daughters, Caitlin and Kayla. They live in Texas, and I will be going back to Texas in about a month to start working for the IRS, and hopefully this time next year I can tell you that I absolutely love that too. That's something new for me, and it's nothing that I ever thought I would do. But they are fun girls to raise. I find my work in ACB as a real labor of love. I absolutely love what I do here. I'm currently serving as your resolutions chair. You will be hearing from me tomorrow. All day, my president says. And then I'm also your current president of BRL, and that's really fun. And currently hold a seat on the BOP, and we'll talk more about that as we get the questions. But I just love life, and I'm having a really good time this week and staying busy. I'm not sure what sleep is. I need to look that up in Webster. So, and I look forward to questions from Paul and Janine and from the rest of you. And thanks for coming tonight.
My name is Charlie Hodge, and I have been a long-time person and activist in ACB. I've sat on the board of directors. I've been a national officer, served as first vice president from 1993 to 1995. But I've always had a great regard for the Board of Publications. I served on the board as an elected member and then as an appointed member for 5 years. My service ended on the BOP in 2007, 3 years ago. But I've continued to have a very active interest. And one of the things that I've done is I have been instrumental in getting my local chapter, my state affiliate, and even today, a special interest affiliate, ACBGE, to buy tickets to support the Braille Forum. I do.
Seconds.
I'm passionate, and I do what I say I'll do, and it's a pleasure here to be amongst these other candidates.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you very much for coming tonight. I'm Marcia. Sorry. Okay, we'll try it again. Good evening, everyone, and thanks very much for coming tonight. I'm Marcia Dresser from Reading, Massachusetts. I've been active in ACB since about 1987. I'm currently Vice President of Bay State Council of the Blind and Vice President of National Association of Blind Teachers. I have edited newsletters for NABT and Connecticut Council, and I currently edit the Bay State newsletter. I am also host of Council Connection, the Bay State monthly radio show that is also heard on ACB Radio. I thoroughly enjoy my work on the Board of Publications. I'm running for a second term. I enjoy our congeniality from all five of us. We work very hard. Excited to get into the social networking scene.
10 seconds.
But also aware that we need to keep people who do not use computers in the loop with ACB's up-to-date information. Thank you.
So So that brings us to the end of the candidates for the Board of Publications. Essentially, there are four persons seeking three positions. And now we come to the Board of Directors. And let's go in the same direction so we can just continue to pass the mic along. So what we're going to be doing is going backwards in alphabetical order. It's kind of a test. Go ahead, say who you are, and you have 1 minute.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Jeff Tom, running for re-election to the board, and I'd just like to say a few things about me when I'm not working on ACB Matters. I have three children. My wife and I live with our 16-year-old, which is challenging enough. We have foreign exchange students, which is wonderful most of the time. I have two adult children and also a foster daughter and her family that are also part of my extended family. I enjoy reading, skiing when I can get up there, which hasn't been for a couple of years, and I love sports. I have lots of things that I would like to continue doing for this board of directors. I hope to have more time to do it now that I will no longer be president of the California Council of the Blind at the end of the year, and so I would devote myself to working as hard as I can for your board. Thank you very much.
Good evening, everyone. This is Alan Peterson. I'm from North Dakota Association of the Blind. I live in the Fargo area of North Dakota, and raised on a small dairy farm in west central Minnesota. Got up with the cows in the morning, and I have earned a degree as a doctor of veterinary medicine from the College of Veterinary Medicine at the University of Minnesota. You have held positions as a researcher at the College of Veterinary Medicine at the University of Minnesota, also a faculty position in the Veterinary Science Department at North Dakota State University. I am married. My wife Judy and I have three adult children. My daughter Lisa is also a practicing veterinarian. Our two sons are both electrical engineers. Okay.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Peterson.
Good evening. My name is George Holliday. It's a pleasure to be here this evening. I am running for a board position. I am from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I am the president of the Pennsylvania Council of the Blind, I am in my fourth year. I became a member of ACB back in 1982 with the DC Council of the Blind, and moved to Philadelphia, where I became very active in 1996. Currently, I am involved with implementing a lot of programs in Pennsylvania, a reference to advocacy, membership, and fundraising. Just one note, back at the convention in Las Vegas, convention, my wife and I got married at that convention. Did I hear the bell?
Well, you will now.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Holliday.
Hello, my name is Janelle Edwards. I currently live in Missouri and have since 2006. Previously, I had lived in Kansas, so I've been privileged to be in two state ACB affiliates. I've been a member of ACB since 1996, and a few years later, I became a life member. I feel privileged to be running for the board of directors, and I feel like my computer skills that I utilized in my three jobs have helped my analytical skills that I could utilize. I would be a good listener. I pay attention to detail and would listen to the membership, both by listening to individuals and researching the relevant ACB resolutions, so that I could really pay attention to what the membership wants, in addition to other factors when considering board decisions?
10 seconds.
I would appreciate your vote.
Good evening. My name is Janet Dickelman. I'm the president of the Minnesota affiliate. I'm sorry I was a couple minutes getting here. I'm always very punctual, but as the information lady, I was giving out information. I am the president of the affiliate of Minnesota. I'm serving on my second term as president. I was employed by Social Security Administration. I recently retired after 35 years of service with the federal government. The last 18 years, I was a supervisor, so I am very organized. I am able to work as a team player. I am used to mentoring and coaching and listening to ideas. I am a wife. I am a mother of an adult child and a guide dog user. Thank you very much.
Good evening. My name is Ray Campbell, and I thank you for coming tonight. The Candidates Forum is always a highlight of my conference and convention week. I'm running for re-election on the ACB Board of Directors, and here at the opening, I'll just tell you a little bit about myself. I'm also president of the Illinois Council of the Blind and have been an ACB member for 20 years. In my professional life, I work as an adaptive technology specialist with the Chicago Lighthouse for people who are blind or visually impaired in Chicago, Illinois. Helping individuals who are blind or visually impaired in the area, Chicago area, and across the nation better utilize their computers and other assistive technology. Really enjoy that work. On the board of directors for the last 4 years, two things I'd point to. Number one, I'm most proud of my chairmanship and hope to continue as chair of the Schools for the Blind Task Force. And number two, I'm very proud of having helped to guide the board putting together a good, strong, reasonable accommodations policy document for ACB. I'd appreciate your support. Thank you.
The first question that we're actually going to ask of all folks, whether they're board members or whether they're members of the Board of Publications. And with that question, here is my beautiful co-host, Jennifer. Oh, Janine.
Jennifer is but one of my sisters. Let's see if he gets the other one by the end of the evening. All righty. Ladies and gentlemen, my first question to all of you is, how do you envision ACB managing its email and internet presence?
And we'll start with Ray. And go back the other way.
How much time do I have for the answer?
Yeah, we'll give you 1 minute.
I think that the membership so far has made it very clear that they want the internet to be managed independently with oversight from the Board of Publications. I don't know if that's going to continue or not. I think that the internet and email are a very different medium than what we traditionally think of as publications. I do think that the Board of Publications needs to have some oversight, but we need to have someone who can take the time as a list moderator, especially with our main list, to oversee that, to deal with issues as they come up, but to moderate with a hand that facilitates discussions as long as they're civil and reflect the diversity of opinions within our organization. So I think that there needs to be some independence there, but there needs to be some BOP oversight. Whatever happens, I will abide by the will of the membership regarding that issue. Thank you.
Janet?
Thank you very much. This is an area that I have not looked into very much. I do subscribe to the ACB leadership list, of course, and I do know that there are a lot of posts. I believe that we do need to remain courteous. We all have different opinions. I think it's important that we express our opinions as long as we stick. I think it's important, though, that we do stick with things that pertain to blindness when at all possible. I like some of the posts that we've received from people saying, oh, I think we're getting way too many posts, and some of the responses that say, well, we do have a delete key if you don't choose to read all of the posts. I think it is important to have list moderators because I do know that every once in a while something does slip through that is not appropriate. Thank you.
Thank you. Janelle.
Yes, I agree with Ray. I think we should do what the membership wants done in this regard. As far as our presence on the internet itself, that is certainly under the purview of the BOP. As far as the lists, I have tended to more think that it has been decided by the convention in the past that that should not be under the Board of Publications, but that could be changed at any convention, and I believe that the authority of the convention is supreme. I personally think it's nice to have one vehicle under a little different authority, but I want what the convention wants, and I would certainly respect that. We need a list with civil discourse, but whoever runs it, that's really what's important, just is to make it available for our membership.
Good job. Next. Well, I say good job because I didn't even have to say 10 seconds. I wasn't making comment necessarily on the political efficacy of the lady's statement.
Thank you. I'm at this time, I'm not able to completely answer that question because I'm not sure of all the logistics with just being a newcomer. Not newcomer, but looking to get on the board. But I feel that with the lists, yes, it's great to have have things monitored. And I feel that at times there needs to be more control with the subject line and keep people to the subject. And at times I see where people are just replying, saying, yes, I agree with that. Some of those things need to be maybe a little tighter rules on what's being done on that list. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm a newbie, too, to this question. I think this... this is Alan Peterson. Sorry about that. My response... I think we need to have a list that serves the membership and that it's that civil discourse is honored. And I think it's a great vehicle for dispensing information about our organization, not only to our members, but to the broader disability and the broader community of all people. However, we can use these lists to advertise and market our organization. Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, I don't know that there's one, quote, right or wrong answer that is absolutely going to meet every need in every situation.
This is Jeff Tom, by the way.
I'm sorry. But I do think it was very appropriate that the Board of Publications took the lead in developing the social networking guidelines that came to the board. I do think generally, as others have said, that it's also appropriate that others, rather than the Board of Publications, be in charge of the lists and their moderation. But with respect to the social networking sites, because they're really the official arm of the organization, and so many things can be done for them, we do need some guidelines from the board, I think, to make sure that they have both the flexibility we need to make them do all that they can, and that we don't have unintended consequences because of their use. Thank you.
Thank you. And we're going to go on to the Board of Publication candidates now. And so we'll first hear from Marcia Dresser.
Thank you. The Board of Publications has been discussing this issue a great deal as of late. I feel that it's extremely important that the lists remain courteous and that the diverse opinions are all allowed to be expressed. I also agree that if you just say, I agree with that and nothing else, it's kind of, if we can eliminate some of that, that would cut down on some of the traffic. The BOP does oversee the ACBL, but does not micromanage. So the list moderator does an excellent job of managing that list, and I think should continue. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Hodge.
There are several proposals in play at this convention, which we have to wait for the outcome to see what structures will be in place when it comes to things like managing the lists and who reports to whom. I would say for email, the Board of Publications does regularly ask our contract employee, who is our web mistress, to come and make reports to the BOP and to answer questions of, in a sense, an oversight capacity. The BOP, of course, the web mistress, as a contract employee, is supervised by the executive director and the ACB president.
10 seconds.
And I think, but the BOP does have a role in making sure that our website and so forth reflects ACB in its best light.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Hodge. Ms. Jackson.
Okay. Excuse me. Thank you. I like this question because, you know, as Charlie just said, the Board of Publications is responsible for overseeing the publications both internally and externally that go out in this, out to the public and to our membership. And so it's important to have list moderators, and it's important for people to be able to, A, express themselves, and B, it's important that we make sure that we have accurate information that goes out. But while all of that is important, and while a list moderator is important, it's equally important that that list moderator sort of rule with an iron hand, but that iron hand has a velvet glove on it, so that the freedom of expression is allowed, but yet when things are unbecoming to
10 seconds.
How this organization may be portrayed, then it's that wise list moderator that pulls back.
Thank you. Mr. Ken Stewart.
Thank you, Ken Stewart, sitting way down here at the end, and as I have previously reported, the acoustics are very difficult. So I'll answer whatever question I want. My favorite basketball team is the Boston Celtics. Now, I know it has something to do with the Internet, and I am proud to say that I'm the author of the resolution 0515 called The Digital Divide, and that's part of perhaps what we're talking about here, that the organization needs to take very seriously the risks of techno-stratification, as somebody, I think it was Jeff, said. There's some unintended side effects in some things we do, but it's a really exciting time to take advantage of all possible communication media, and the Board of Publications, I think, is in an ideal position to lead that, not to control it all, and I have been the ex officio representative on the Internet Oversight Committee. It's been a pleasure to be the link between the two groups. I think we can work very well together. One of the hats I wear back in New York is as a mediator, and I think that, you know, direct dialogue between us and so forth can be very satisfying, and we can work very well together. Thank you.
It's good. The members of the Board of Publications can kind of chill for a little while, because we're going to ask two questions of the board, and then we're going to ask two questions of the Board of Publications. So for the moment, the members of the Board of Publications can relax. And after we've asked our two questions of the candidates for the board, we're going to take a short break so everybody can just stretch and kind of regroup. Then please come back, and what we will do after that is we'll have a round of two questions for the Board of Publications folks, and then we will have a couple of questions from the audience, one of which is actually a question from a special interest affiliate. So let us proceed then with the questions for the board of directors. And the first question, and I think that I think we'll just go ahead and start with Ray and go in that order, if that's okay with everyone. The first question for the board of directors is, everyone recognizes that fundraising is an important and necessary thing for ACB to need to do. What specific approaches do you think we can try for fundraising, and what makes you a good person to be leading our efforts in that direction as a board member?
This is Ray Campbell.
1 minute.
Thank you. This is Ray Campbell, and a general point I would make first of all before I start in on the rest of my answer is, I think we need to pull back a little from always going to our members to that well for money. I think that we need to look outside of our organization in that end. One thing I definitely think is that we need to look at taking advantage of the internet in finding good, legitimate, safe ways to raise funds through our internet presence. That also increases the visibility of ACB. I'm not sure. I think that I'm a person that can help do that with the computer and technology expertise that I have to make sure that anything that we do use on the internet to help us with our fundraising is going to be accessible. I would certainly commit to doing that, and certainly
10 seconds.
Commit to seeing that it's cost-effective for us to use whatever mediums we use to raise those funds. Thank you.
Very good. Janet Dickelman.
Thank you very much. I agree with Ray that we do need to go outside our membership. I know that my affiliates members are very tired of selling candy bars. I understand that there's been discussion of trying to partnership with companies, not necessarily endorse companies or be endorsed by companies, but partnership with them. I think that's very important. And like the internet, it would also get us visibility. I would certainly be willing to talk to people and discuss the merits of ACB as a viable and very important organization with all of the baby boomers who are getting up and who are having visual problems. It's 1 in 4 people will have a vision problem in their lifetime, and it's very important that we get the word about ACB out.
10 seconds.
And if we start working with companies and larger groups, it'll be a good way to promote ACBM or ACB. Thank you.
Thank you. Janelle Edwards?
Yes, I can think of 3 ways that as a board member I might be able to help. First of all, anything that we can do to help the budget to be able to afford a fundraiser, because I am basically a fiscal conservative, and so working in that direction. Secondly, anything we can do to get the word out about ACB so that more donors are interested in donating. And I think there would be some things that, as a board member, that the board can do in that direction. And thirdly, anything we can do just to grow our membership. Then our membership becomes this whole other community that can also help, because sometimes it's those other contacts that the members have. Not that that should be the job of the members, because the members are helping, and we need to work on those other programs, but you never know where that next great source will come from.
Very good. Next.
Yes, this is George Holliday. Fundraising is a great tool that our organizations need. I know in Pennsylvania, we have addressed that issue because our grassroots efforts, members in our local chapters are concerned about us keep coming back to the members for fundraising. So in the past few years, we have developed a committee where we are doing grant writing, and our fundraising committee is looking outside the box and going toward corporate funding. Yes, I feel that the programs we have with our membership are very beneficial. I think we need to look other directions besides our members. And the grant writing and corporate sponsorship is a very good idea. Thank you.
Excellent. Next.
This is Alan Peterson. I believe that we need to hire a professional financial development director. I know that we didn't have real success with the one that we did hire, but I don't think we should give up on the idea. As far as what my experience in the area of fundraising, I have been involved with fundraising for our state affiliate. I've chaired the walk that we've conducted every year for our affiliate, and I also have been involved with fundraising for a transportation service that we provide in Fargo. It's a nonprofit, and we rely on fundraising and grant writing. I have been involved with grant writing, so I believe that those are qualities that I can bring to the board in that area. Thank you.
Thank you. Jeff Tom?
Well, what I'd like to do is be a professional auctioneer for ACB, but I don't think that's going to happen. So, barring that, a couple of things. First, I'm pleased that I'm going to be one of the members to be appointed to a task force that the president has appointed on monetization of assets. I've spoken to several caucuses about it. We need to look very carefully on how, without jeopardizing our guiding principles, we can make more money with the assets that we have, our website, our name, and other things, our publications. We need guidelines to, you know, guide us in terms of making sure that we don't become don't betray our consumer principles, and yet we need to make money.
10 seconds.
As we can. I also think more can be done with ad hoc committee for grants, two or three persons that would work on individual grants with a resource director when and if we appoint one.
Thank you. And now for another question for the board, it gives me great pleasure to introduce Josephine. Janine.
My, he's hitting all of my history here. That was my name when I took high school Spanish, Josefina. So, anyway, we in ACB talk a lot, use two particular A words quite a bit, advocacy and accessibility. And I'd like to know from you as a board member, what do you feel is the greatest advocacy or access issue that we face, and what are you going to do about it during your tenure as a board member?
Boy, the most difficult question is which one is the greatest. There may be no right answer on this one, but perhaps there is no greater issue than that of transportation. And I suspect that Alan to my right is going to agree. Because transportation affects all of us, whether we're senior students, prospective employees, volunteers. What am I going to do on the board? Obviously, we need to help to work for, you know, potential increased federal operations funding rather than funding of capital projects, although that may be a long shot in the years to come. But we need to also do more to guide our state and local affiliates on how they can advocate at the state and local level. So I would like to work with the Transportation Committee on doing more to give the guidance that we can to our state and local affiliates.
Good.
Okay, Alan?
Mr. Peterson.
Thank you. I agree with Tom. Transportation is a very critical issue for people with disabilities, particularly for us for those of us who cannot drive our own car, and we rely on driving a car
in our area to get around. That's the way people get around. There's very limited bus service, and for people that live in North and South Dakota, in Montana and Wyoming particularly, where there's very, very few people per square mile, we don't have a lot of access to transportation. I also believe that our access to information through electronic media is going to be more and more important, because that's the wave of the future.
10 seconds.
And passing these bills, 3101 and 3304, are critical. I think it's a first step. Thank you.
Thank you. And it's, let's see which way we're going. So, Mr. Holliday, sir.
Yes, I agree with both of the two previous speakers. You know, transportation is a big issue. That's just a part of the picture for advocacy. I feel, and something we're addressing in Pennsylvania, is, yes, it's great to come to Washington for the legislative seminar, but more important, it's, I feel, we have to start with the grassroots efforts. Whatever we're advocating for, we have to start locally and start educating our members of our local chapters on how to advocate, how to make a phone call to the councilman or their state representative, and ask for their support on whatever issue we need to advocate for. Because if we don't start there,
10 seconds.
We're going to lose that support that we can get from our local officials. Thank you.
Very good. Keeping on time. People are really doing wonderfully. I mean, I haven't yet to wrestle the mic out of anyone's hand so far this evening.
My belly arm is still holding it.
That's right. Miss Janelle Edwards.
Well, it's a lot of consensus here on this one. Transportation is so important, and I concur that networking between the various states, between the various state affiliates, because some people really are doing it right, and working with the wonderful ACB Transportation Committee to help people improve the transportation in their local communities. Because so many other things can hinge on transportation. If you don't have that transportation, it's hard to get to your social things. It's hard to go shopping for that technology that you need. Even if you do manage to find accessible technology, washers and dryers that are accessible, which I think is so important, you have to have a way to get there. You have to have a way to get to that job. And so anything that we can do to advocate for the accessible transportation or help those affiliates to help each other, I think would be a wonderful priority.
Excellent. Ms. Janet Dickelman.
I agree that transportation is very important, but I'm going to go off on another topic, accessibility. We've made great strides with the 21st Century Communication Act, but we've got a long way to go. We need to have things that are accessible out of the box, such as cell phones. We need to have more audio description, especially the emergency notifications. I'm really tired of every time we have a little blip on the beep on the television, having my husband say to me, "Oh, it's not here," because I never know whether that tornado is going to blow down my house or whether it's three counties away. That is, to me, is very important, as is access to reading machines such as the Kindle. We've worked very hard on that with advocacy. And I also agree that grassroots is very important. We've done
seconds.
A lot of advocacy work in Minnesota. Sorry, I forgot where I was for a moment. And to me, that is the most important. That is top priority.
Mr. Campbell.
Well, first of all, briefly, I'll say I agree. Transportation is most important, and I would bring my experience in that area to the board. In 2004, after 8 years of hard work, we launched Ride DuPage in suburban Chicago, DuPage County, Illinois, 24/7 transportation for people with disabilities, senior citizens, and people with low incomes. But let's talk about accessibility. We need access to more things out of the box. Apple has shown that it can be done, and more need to do it. We've got to get 3101 or 3304 or some version of that passed. But let's go further than that. It does no good to have video description on DVDs if we can't operate the DVD players. It does no good to have a touchpad on a microwave if I can't operate the microwave and washers and dryers, etc., etc. We've got much work to do in the area of accessibility, and advocacy on accessibility is essential.
God. 1, 2, 1, 2.
Take that one. Cool. And then have the audience come on.
Do you have another battery? Or? Sure. Yeah.
I've got my hand up in the air with my cup in it. Somebody will see it.
So.
Go ahead. Do that. Make it an answer. I'll take it with me. I've got to figure out which pot is which.
All right. Sure.
His mic's not working. And going to break?
He's taking a break, and I am changing the battery.
Okay, I'll relate that to the radio audience then.
Sorry. Sorry, folks. What? We just have to change batteries. Apparently his batteries went dead, and Paul's batteries went dead on the mic.
Okay, Paul's battery went dead, as you just heard. So we are going to take a short break here.
What he's saying is, audience, be thinking of questions.
I've already got one question for the BOP when it comes time to take questions from the audience. Okay. I will definitely relate that.
Yep.
And so if you have any questions, try to send them to me via MSN so I can view them and try to relay it in the way that you wish to relay it. State your name, where you're from, which group the question is aimed at, whether it's the BOP or the Board of Directors, and what the question is. And try to make it as short as you can so we can try to do it without taking a lot of time. Anyway, you're listening to live coverage of the Candidates Forum here at the 49th Annual Convention of the American Council of the Blind.
Changing batteries.
Tomorrow we will definitely be getting to the meat of the ACB business in the general sessions. We have bylaws and constitution amendments. We have elections of the Board of Directors as well as the Board of Publications. And lots of resolutions to get through. Ooh, that was a nice pop.
Got the batteries working. Ladies and gentlemen, in just a few moments, Mr. Paul will be able to start again. We have batteried.
That's fine. Ladies and gentlemen, I am back again with a fresh battery. Let me reiterate what I said to the audience a moment ago, because I'm not sure that everyone had an opportunity to hear me. What I said is we're going to be asking two questions now from up here. Thank you. Of the members of the Board of Publications. Once we finish those two questions, we're going to be asking probably three questions from the audience. But one of those questions I think Jay is going to be reading, because it actually comes to the members of the Board of Publications. Oh, Donna's going to do it. Okay, from a special interest affiliate, and you'll hear more about that a little bit later on. And then after that, if you would like to ask a question as a member of the audience, please step out into the aisle so Jay can recognize you. Chill for now. I'll give you lots of time when you need to. But in the meantime, be thinking about some questions. So now it is the turn of the Board of Publications, and we'll start the questioning at one end. And then with the second question, we'll start the questioning at the other end. So the very first answerer for our Board of Publications this time will be Marcia Dresser. And the question that we have for Marcia and for the rest of the members of the Board of Publications is, the Board of Publications has been tackling tough issues now, but where do you think the Board of Publications will be in 5 years? What kinds of issues do you think the Board of Publications will have to deal with by then?
Oh, my goodness, 5 years. I can't even think about tomorrow.
It can be longer if you want it to be.
I think that we will be more and more into the computer age. Because obviously more and more people are getting computers and the internet and email and such, and even phone service may be totally different than we know now. I think we will also be dealing with making sure that our elderly population, as the baby boomers age and start to have health problems, that the BOP will have to make sure that they also stay in the loop and as far as information goes. Beyond that, I suspect that we'll be given issues that that we have no idea of, and I'm kind of excited to check them out as they come upon us.
Thank you very much. Next, Mr. Hodge.
Yes, this is Charlie Hodge. I am not particularly a assistive technology geek, but I would say that I think the Board of Publications is going to have to wrestle with issues as we come along. A lot of publishing and so forth has begun to come more and more paperless, and whether we should continue hard copy production of the Braille Forum and so forth is going to have to be at least talked about. And I for one, of course, am very much in favor of maintaining the Braille edition of the Braille Forum. But, you know, we've got to look at cost, and certainly some of the electronic versions of our documents we send out and so forth are much less expensive to produce when they're done electronically. So those are some of the things I think we're going to have to look at.
Oh, you just about got gonged, Mr. Hodge. You just avoided it. Ms. Judy Jackson.
Thank you. Wow, 5 years. I was hoping I'd have time to run out and get my crystal ball and get back in here, but Marcia and Charlie were just a little too quick. You know, we have, Facebook and Twitter? I mean, I don't know. We'll probably have Facebook 5,000 by then, or maybe Nosebook. Who knows what we're going to have? But, you know, we're going to have things that are, the information age is just going to continue to grow and grow and grow. And, you know, we in ACB right now are at the ground level with social networking, and we're only going to improve. And I'm so excited to be part of that ground floor grassroots effort to get that going. So in 5 years, wow, we're going to be right on it. And we're going to be at the front because we're the leading organization on blindness issues, like I've said all week. But like Charlie said, and, thank you. As president of the Braille Revival League, I would be very remiss in not saying that, you know, we've had Braille for, what, 200, what did we celebrate last year? 200 years of Louis Braille's birthday. So it's not going to be gone in 5 years. So we're keeping Braille going. I hate that bell.
Mr. Ken Stewart.
Yeah, thank you very much. I don't want to repeat what the other folks have said. I agree with everything, but a couple of thoughts have come to mind. One is that in 5 years from now, we don't know what the favorite communication vehicles and media will be. But whatever they are, we need to keep up with them. And we also need to keep in mind the demographics of the United States. More and more, there are going to be older people who are losing their vision, and we need to be responsive to that. And if that still means that large print is important to them, then we need to stick with large print along with everything else. As I've mentioned several times this week, a lot of people are surprised, but more than half of Braille form subscriptions are in large print. So there's a lot of people out there that need that kind of communication. We need to keep with that. Another thing that comes to mind is the internal publications and communications. We need to be as helpful as we possibly can be with the affiliates, both the affiliates communicating with the national part of the organization and within their own, with their own members, in whatever ways are most effective.
Thank you, Mother. Boy, it was a near thing, Mr. Stewart. It was a near thing. We had armed the missile.
Something about missile.
Well, for our second Board of Publications question, it gives me great pleasure to pass the mic to Janine.
Now he's got one of my aunts. We're going to keep going here. All right. The Board of Publications oversees our primary publication for this organization, the Braille Forum. I would like to ask the members of the Board of Publications, what particular challenges do you see the Braille Forum facing in the future, and how do you, as a member of the Board of Publications, plan to help us deal with those challenges, the primary of which being the demise of the cassette?
And we'll start with Mr. Stewart.
Can I get the question repeated off mic without charging my time?
No.
Certainly. Is there any way we can? Okay. All right. Are you able to hear me, Ken? Or am I too high? Can we go? Let's go.
So the question, Ken, is the Braille Forum is our most important publication. What do we think are the major challenges that face the Braille Forum? And in particular, how would you deal with the demise of the cassette?
That was my question. Well, as Mark Twain said, the reports of my death have been exaggerated. I believe the cassette will be with us. My microphone? I
guess so. Yes.
The life of the cassette is not as short as some people think. The cassette is the second most popular format for the Braille Forum by far. And so I think we need to keep in mind that there are lots of people out there that want and continue to enjoy getting the Braille Forum on cassette. So I think we need to, you know, stay with the times, keep in touch with what's happening, but keep in close touch with our readers And that's one of the reasons that I think what the Board of Publications needs to do this fall, and it's on its agenda, is to look at the subscription list, who's getting it, and are they still there, where those subscriptions go, what are favorite formats.
One 10 seconds.
Today, this week, mentioned they didn't even realize it was available in email. Well, we want them to know that. So thank you.
Thank you, Ken. Ms. Jackson.
Thank you. You know, one of the issues that we see with the Braille Forum is, you know, obviously Braille production and its costliness. So, you know, we'll certainly have to keep an eye on that. But in terms of cassettes, you know, that does seem to be the big bugaboo. What are we going to do once cassettes go away? And perhaps I can redeem myself in this forum tonight because I misspoke in the Missouri caucus, and perhaps what we could do when cassettes no longer exist is that we can perhaps produce CDs on a WAV file so that they can then be played on a CD player and then their audio files, and then they can be heard that way, and we still can keep our people in the loop who are not or in the computer age.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hodge.
As Mr. Stewart said, this is already an important topic on the agenda for the Board of Publications as we go into the fall. I also would say that if cassettes do pass on to the history of our organization, I think that the Board of Publications has the expertise to permit us in ACB to use like the NLS equipment and the new flash cards that would be possible to
10 seconds.
Succeed cassettes. And so I think there are challenges which we will have to wrestle with, but money is the root of all evil. And it's the money to produce certain formats and certain things that is going to be driving the bus. And unfortunately...
Ready.
Oh, excuse me.
Aim. Thank you, Mr. Hodge. Ms. Dresser.
Thank you. Well, I agree with what everyone has said. I think also the cassette's demise is a little premature because I have heard that some books may not even be transferred over to the digital format. So I think cassettes are going to be here for a long time. But when they do leave or when we can't get them, probably using some kind of digital format like the NLS format would be a good thing. Also going to regular audio CDs, that might involve two discs, two CDs, because the Braille Forum is a lengthy publication. I will continue to fight for Braille and large print because I think, you know, our members who depend on that really want it. And as people age, there are going to be more people wanting Braille and large print. Thank you.
You're welcome, and thank you, Board of Publications. All right. We are now at the stage where the audience gets to ask a few questions. So if you're...
Can we explain the election process?
We could do that. And actually, we had a question during the break about that. And so while the audience is stepping out into the aisle, Janine and I will go through the candidates in the election process. I'll do the candidates, and then Janine can do the election process. You want to do it the other way?
Let's do it the other way. Yes.
Okay. So here is, let's see, here is Jerry. Janine.
Now he's got my uncle. See, we have a family of Jays, and it's just not right. All righty. For the ACB Board of Directors this year, we have, as you have heard, six people running. We have five open positions on the board. Two of those people running are incumbents who are running for another term, a succeeding term. Three people are going to be new to the board of directors and are filling spots on the board that have been vacated by people whose term limits have run out. On the Board of Publications, we have, and the way the Board of Publications works, if you aren't familiar, there are two appointed positions. That would be Paul and myself in this particular case, and then three elected positions. And this year, all three of those elected positions, as every other year they are up for re-election. And the three incumbents are running, and then we have one other person who is running for one of those spots. So that is our candidate profile this year, and here is Paul to tell you all about the election.
The electoral process in ACB is kind of unique in that it's a two-part process. First, it only comes into play when two or more people are running for an office. When that is happening, and I suspect that tomorrow we'll just have two people running, though of course one can never tell with ACB. When we have two people running, an election is held, and that election is divided into two parts. First, there is a standing vote. That means that everyone who is present and voting in the room has an opportunity to stand up and vote for either of the two candidates. So the president will ask who wants to vote for A. Everybody will stand up. Then the president will say, okay, you guys can sit down. Who wants to vote for B? Meantime, the organization is conducting other business like reading resolutions and doing constitution and bylaw amendments and that sort of thing. Once the standing vote has been completed, we then do a roll call vote. That means that each of the affiliates within ACB has an opportunity to vote. They have one vote for every 25 members, up to a maximum of 25 votes, and at the end of the day, the two tallies are combined, the standing vote and the affiliate vote, and whoever gets the largest total wins the election. How was that? Not bad. Okay. So, now, the question is, Mr. J, do we have questions from the audience?
We have quite a few, and I had some help tonight from my buddy Bruce here to keep track of who came up first after our question from our affiliate. And I wonder how many of those people you want to take.
Well, let's see how the time goes. And let's see who has questions for what. So let's try the first question and see what happens. Is it for the board or the board of publications?
The affiliate question.
Excellent.
That we wanted to take. So that we planned before. So here's Donna Pomerantz.
And this is for the BOP. Yes, Donna?
It is for the BOP and the directors.
Good.
It's for each of you.
Excellent.
Okay. Members of CCLVI would like each of you to please speak about low vision issues, specifically what you see as being important and how you would seek to incorporate or improve them.
Excellent. And we'll start with Ray Campbell, and we'll go all the way along the row that way. And I'll repeat the question just in case folks didn't hear it. CCLVI wants to know from everyone seeking election, what do you think are the most important low vision issues, and also what you would propose doing about them. Is that more or less right, Ms. Donna?
How would you seek to incorporate them and improve them?
How would you seek to incorporate people with low vision and low vision issues?
The issues. Yeah.
Right.
Issues.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Campbell.
Wow. Well, first of all, personally, I'm totally blind, so I don't fully understand low vision, but I'll give it a shot here. Working in the adaptive technology field, I recognize that low vision issues are a huge part of things. We need to make sure that when we're talking accessibility, we are talking not only about speech output and braille output and things like that. I think what we need to do is, for example, on appliances, we need to make sure that there is appropriate contrast, that there are large controls, large letters and numbers that can be seen by people who have low vision. I think we need to also make sure that we are addressing issues around when we talk about access to the built environment. We're looking at issues of lighting and of appropriate contrast and walls. I'm familiar with a location, a low vision center in my area, which actually, when they built their new building, did a whole lot of that. And there's a lot of good contrast from the doorways to the surrounding wall surface areas and things like that.
Ray, you have 10 seconds.
Thank you. And I certainly, personally, would not be able to work on many of these as myself, but I do agree it is something we need to think about, and I hope I've given you some things to, some food for thought. Thank you.
Excellent. It was close. I'm sorry that I didn't indicate that questions would be 1 minute, but in future, until and unless you hear otherwise, 1 minute is the length of all responses. Miss Janet.
All right. I also am totally blind, so as with Ray, the low vision issues are a little more difficult for me to address. I think it's very difficult for people. Low vision is a really hard issue because there is such a variance of people with vision losses. Some people with low vision have tunnel vision. Some people with low vision can see at a distance. Some can't. And it's an issue that is difficult to address. Yes, we need to make sure we pay attention to people with low vision. We need to make sure that things are in large print. As Ray talked about, we need to think about lighting. We need to think about large numbers. It's one of those things that I know personally I have difficulty with, because if I'm with someone who's low vision, sometimes they can see something very clearly, and other times it's very difficult for them, and I don't necessarily know how they are being affected. So it's one of these questions that we really have to think about and discuss almost on an individual basis. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, Ms. Edwards.
I also am totally blind, so this is not my field of expertise, but I did learn a little bit from Ken Stewart when I was ex officio on the BOP. But it's my impression that lighting can make a big difference, and there again, like others have discussed, the print, those types of things, and we need to be sensitive to the needs of everyone, even in planning our convention venues, to make sure that everything works for the people with low vision, the lighting there, and anything we can do to help in our advocacy, possibly just to make people like me aware, so that when we're advocating for accessible design, we are also aware of the needs of people with low vision, because as a totally blind person, I know about the blindness issues, I know about Braille, but I'm not really very educated about the needs of CCLVI people, but I want to know, and I want to help. So any other issues that would be a concern of that group,
10 seconds.
I would want to be educated.
Thank you, Ms. Edwards. Next, Mr. Holliday.
Yes, low vision. I am I have light perception. At one time, I was a very high partial. But I keep saying I'm going back to things that we're doing in PCB that can be very beneficial with ACB. 5 years ago, as vice president of PCB, I went to the current president, Gene Barton, because in our membership committee, we were talking about membership, and we found that a lot of low-vision people didn't want to be part of a blind organization. So on that note, I got the permission to start a low-vision committee. That low-vision committee started off over the next 2 years doing a few things, but all of a sudden it took off where they're addressing low-vision issues around the state. At our state conventions for the last 3 years, there has been a segment where the low-vision committee has been addressing low-vision issues and inviting the public to come in and to be a part of that. This year there are several separate low vision expos put on by different chapters
10 seconds.
Around the state. I have gotten with the Will's Eye Hospital. There's going to be a low vision expo held there in October where the public's going to be invited to attend. Thank you.
That was very good, Mr. Holliday. Next.
Thank you. This is Alan Peterson again. I believe that the most important issue as far as low vision is providing a built environment that is friendly to people with low vision. So things like steps or stairs that have varying color contrasts, things that help people with low vision to navigate easily in their environment. Also, I believe that the equipment like CCTVs, many people with low vision are elderly and they don't have a lot of resources as far as buying equipment. And I'm involved with an effort in North Dakota to purchase CCTVs, which would be rented out on a budget-friendly basis to people with low vision. So I believe there are two issues, the built environment, making it friendly to people with low vision, and access to appropriate technology like CCTVs. Thanks.
Thank you. Mr. Tom.
Well, there's really no way to give a wrong answer to this question because there's really so much work that must be done, and everything that's been said is excellent. With respect to the built environment, this is clearly an important issue. I won't repeat anything with respect to the specific issues, except what I think we need to do is, at this level, have more trainings so that we can train a lot of us who, I for example, am a past chair and a current member of my local disability advisory commission. And as now the only blind person on it, it's imperative that I bring up the low vision issues or nobody else will.
10 seconds.
So I need to have the training to ensure that I do bring up those issues. The one other thing I want to bring up is in the healthcare area, with all the e-systems that are coming on down the line, we have to make sure that websites are fully accessible to those low vision.
Ready? Gosh, I keep hoping.
I'd like to see what he's going to fire, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.
All right.
You could do that. Ms. Dresser.
Okay, well, I'm also totally blind. I've never seen, but I've had to learn a great deal about low vision because in my work as a teacher of visually impaired students, a lot of my students have low vision. And what I've discovered is that people with low vision have a very hard road because the general public usually either thinks that a person with low vision can see nothing or see everything with no trouble. So in my schools, I have to advocate for the needs of my students. As people have said, contrast on stairs, you know, and large print. But some people with low vision can't use large print. Actually, regular print's better because of their field of vision is so small. So every person is different. I've heard on caucuses that people have mentioned to me that some page numbers in convention documents were too small.
And 10 seconds.
Some people thought that bolding needed to be in some documents. I've written that down so we can discuss it, and we've discussed the large print forum on the BOP, so we just need to keep working on these issues.
There we are. Another one escaped. Yes.
This is Charlie Hodge, and I'm also totally blind, but that's no excuse for not having some sensitivity to the special issues of people with low vision. If elected to the BOP, I would certainly want the BOP to continue asking for assistance from CCLVI when it comes to issues of the Braille form. For instance, the front cover inside and out and the back cover inside and out are glossy material. We need to have a better sense of what font is best and most bold, and to address issues about glare on this glossy material. The other issue I'd want to say is I'm sure that the chairman of the BOP, through the ACB president, will ask the ABCB president to ask the Environmental Access Committee to continue working on low vision matters.
Gosh, I don't know that we'd have a choice. Ms. Jackson.
Thank you. You know, as an educator, I just sort of want to rewind the tape and y'all just take what Marcia said and I'll just say ditto because she said everything I would have said. I can remember teaching back and teaching young children and having to do like Marcia said and go in and advocate because our society and even in the education world, our society doesn't understand that there are varying degrees of vision. I mean, it's an all or nothing. I've been with lots of my friends at low vision who have low vision at say places to go out to eat where you go through a cafeteria line and then the food is so hot so the little glass window is all smudgy and they say, and the low vision person will say, well, what is that? And they'll go, well, can't you see it? That's liver. You know, and the poor person doesn't know because they can't see through all of this stuff. So I think it's a matter of education. I think it's a matter of us being educated by the person with low vision and making sure that we know what their issues are because what is important to one person may or may not be important to another.
Mr. Stewart.
Thank you very much. I have some encouraging comments to make. First of all, many years ago, one of our previous presidents, ACB presidents, was very prescient. His name was Paul Edwards, and he wrote a monthly report one month, which was right on the money in terms of the importance of this organization being responsive to the needs of the low-vision population. As I said previously, the demographics are such that there could be more and more people that really need our advocacy and our help in the senior population with a diminishing vision. I happen to be sitting currently on the large print committee of the CCLVI. We're putting together a white paper, and I've been very, very encouraged by my colleagues on the Board of Publication in recent months in terms of being responsive to what our low-vision people need, things like what Charlie Hodge mentioned, the glossy paper and so forth. I'm also reminded of this hotel. Each time I step into the elevator, I wince because I see there's one low panel, control panel, and that's great for people with limited vision,
I'm sorry.
Then I look over on the other side, and the other panel's low too. Now, where were the advocates for the braille readers and low vision people when this building was being designed? Said, look, put an elevator with one low panel and one up panel. Each time I go in, I kneel on one knee to use that panel. The thermostat's another one where we need to make sure that physical world is responsive to people with very limited vision. Thank you.
All right, let's take another question from the audience. Let us know whether it's to the Board of Directors or the Board of Publications or to both.
Where's the mic?
I'm holding it.
Okay. Hi, my name is Kathy Lyons, and I'm from Buffalo, New York. Just a comment, it seems we need more low-vision people on the board or more continuing questions to the low-vision affiliate.
I think we need CEUs for totally blind people on low vision.
It is, but anyway. So here's my question. How would you address the needs of multiply handicapped? So it could be deafblind. It could be someone who's blind and has severe arthritis or some kind of joint disease that they can't hold the books. And there are probably a lot of other situations where there are multiple disabilities. I'd like to know how you would address those.
Now, do you want that to be for everybody or?
Please.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, and let's start with Ken Stewart. I guess the mic's coming back from the other end. There we are.
Okay, timer, start your clock.
It is started.
Back in New York, I am active in several multi-disability organizations, and I'm often struck by the lack of education between disabilities in terms of what other disabilities need. One perfect example is
They talk about how wonderful it is to take away curbs for people in wheelchairs. That's true, but curbs are very important to people with limited vision and no vision, and so you've got to get those. Thank you. You've got to get those detectable warning strips in there, and there are many other examples of that too. So part of it is education within the disabilities community, so that we all, whichever organization we're in, we can do things that don't hurt any disability while helping other disabilities. I'm feeling here this evening with the hearing problems with the acoustics up here is, where's Sassy when I need it?
Thank you very much, Ken. Judy? This is Judy Jackson.
Gosh, and can I say education, education, education? Because, you know, in 75, we passed, you know, the Education Act for all people with disabilities. And everybody's issue is different. And so, you know, while I like this question, and I don't have a problem with it at all, the way you're going to address the needs of persons with multiple disabilities is to find out either from that person themselves what their needs are, or B, find out from their caregiver what their needs are, and then be able to address those that way, because it's not a one-size-fits-all. And that's why, you know, in the rehab world, we have individual employment or plans for employment, and in the education world, once again, we have individual education plans. By its very definition, it means that no one wears the same size hat.
Thank you, Judy. Mr. Hodge.
This is a very provocative question, and I think we need to realize that when it comes to low vision people, we know that there are varying degrees of such impairments. When it comes to people who are deafblind, oftentimes there are varying degrees of each of the sensory disabilities. The multiply disabled, this is a tremendously complicated issue. I would hope that if I were elected to the Board of Publications, that we would, through the network we have in ACB of special interest affiliates and so forth, that issues would be brought to the BOP, and that we could hopefully come up with the answer that would help and satisfy the greatest number.
Thank you. Ooh, he escaped. He was good. Ms. Dresser.
Well, this is a very good question, Kathy, because as baby boomers constitute the largest part of our population overall, so as we all get older, we're going to encounter more of these issues. I think that it's wonderful that ACB has the SASE committee. We may have to think about in the future going to hotels that offer more wheelchair accessible rooms. We may need to, I think it's going to be important to talk to each person and be receptive to that person's needs, because it's such a wide issue. I think we need to be educated, because I don't think you can answer it in one blanket policy.
10 seconds.
I think we're going to need to hear from all the people that have special needs and continue to be responsive to those needs and do whatever is necessary to the best of our ability.
Thank you very much. Let's just keep on going along the row. Mr. Tom.
Okay. The first thing, and we've almost said it, but we haven't quite, because clearly education is what has to happen. But before education has to be a change in our attitudes. We've changed, I think, towards deafblindness, but with respect to other multiply disabled blind, we don't quite see them as the same as blind people. And we really need to. They are us, and we are them. And until we overcome that attitude, the education and everything else that has to happen for us and for everyone else won't work. Once we do that, we can educate, and we can work. I know in California, we worked to increase rates so that O&M instructors could provide the training that that multiply disabled, blind children need because they couldn't get the rates they needed, and all those kids got was travel training. We were unsuccessful, even though we worked with the O&M instructors, but we're still in that fight, and I am always eager to work toward other issues that involve all segments of our multiply disabled blind population.
Thank you, sir. Next.
This is Alan Peterson. I believe that we have to recognize that many of the issues that we are dealing with are also issues that are being dealt with by people with other disabilities. Issues like transportation, housing, employment. And in North Dakota, we do have a consortium, the North Dakota Disability Advocacy Consortium. And through that consortium, which encompasses 22 different organizations, we do address those issues. And I commend ACB for working with COAT on the bills that we have before the House and Senate, 3101 and 3304. I think that's the way to go, and I think we need to do more of it. We have to recognize that we're not alone in this fight. So thank you very much.
Mr. Holliday.
Yes. As an assistive technology specialist, I have worked with the blind community with various ranges of vision. Also, I have worked with the visually impaired with multiple impairments. And you still have to work within the same way. There's so many different ways because everybody, as far as somebody that's visually impaired, there's so many different ranges. With the impaired, multiple impaired, no one person is alike. So you have so many different ways of working with them, such as sticky keys, telekeys, using drag and dictate, but you have to do a thorough assessment on what that individual would need. Thank you.
Excellent. Ms. Edwards.
Serving as a member of the Board of Directors in both Kansas and Missouri, the boards in both states have dealt with people with multiple disabilities. Just recently, in Missouri, we established a deaf-blind community to try to help people, blind people who are also having some hearing issues, to be more comfortable in and more assimilated into our affiliate because we want to welcome them. I love technology, and I am the Adaptive Technology Grants Chair in Missouri, but it's not just all about the kind of technology that I love and am used to using personally. It's about involving everyone and finding out if it's technology or what else we can do to help people where they are, because we are each an individual, and our affiliates and we as ACB nationally need to do what we can with the resources that we have to be available for everyone.
Excellent. Ms. Dickelman.
Yes. Kathy, thank you for asking this question. It is a difficult question. And the first thing I want to say is I'm very glad that we are part of an organization that is even bringing this subject up, because in other organizations it wouldn't even be thought of, because we do want to be very inclusive in ACB, and I think that's very important. I, like Judy pretty much said it all. From my standpoint, we need to deal with this on an individual basis, and we need to deal with this through education. It's very important that everyone's needs are met, but it is something that we can't have a cookie-cutter approach to, because everyone is different, just like with the low vision. We see wheelchairs here, we see scooters. Everyone's abilities are different, and there's no way we can address this on an overall basis. In Minnesota, we are also involved on the Consortium for Disabilities, and I think that's very important advocacy work. Thank you.
Thank you. And Ray Campbell, you get to be the last speaker on this question, and the last speaker before we do our final summing up.
While I don't agree with their stance on categorical services, I think we can learn some things from the independent living movement here, which stresses individualism and consumer control. And that's to say that this really has to be worked on an individual basis. Many of you know that I am very deeply passionate about helping people who are deafblind. And I'm really pleased that ACB has the SASE committee and that we turn to them for their help and guidance in working with those populations. I'm really pleased to see so many people here that use wheelchairs because that shows them that they're coming here because ACB is an inclusive organization. I'm very proud of helping to guide the board over the last 4 years in developing a policy document that sends the message to anybody coming to an ACB event that all reasonable efforts are going to be taken to help you effectively participate in that event, whether you need an interpreter, assistive listening device, making sure there's access for your wheelchair, whatever you need, we're going to help you out. But again, this really is an individualized thing, and that's the way it's got to be. Thank you.
We got one question from the Internet radio audience.
All right, Mr. Larry.
Okay, this is for the Board of Publications. This is from Jay Bader in Orlando, Florida. And the question is, with mainstream popularity of Facebook and Twitter, what ideas are there to make these social networking sites a complement to the outreach efforts of ACB?
And we get to start with Marcia.
Sorry, Larry, could you do me a big favor and repeat the question, please?
Sure. The question is, given the emergence of Facebook and Twitter, what does the Board of Publications think we're going to do to use these vehicles as an outreach element of ACB?
Well, as you all have heard tonight, the BOP has been discussing this issue for quite a while now and are ready to launch our Facebook and Twitter pages, and I think it's very important that we use them to get out up-to-the-minute information about ACB and the perks of membership, as it were, especially for our younger members, and to make sure, and it will also widen the popularity, I think, of ACB through these pages because people all over the world see them. So I think as we go along, we'll find more ways to do that and to complement, work with the membership committee and publications to continue, publicity to continue the outreach.
Ready. Oh, shucks. That is too bad.
Yes, this is Charlie Hodge. And I would say that Paul Edwards has shown great leadership on the Board of Publications in developing a policy that the Board of Directors has eventually approved, and to start the process of having ACB's presence on these social networking systems. And if elected to the BOP, I certainly would plan to, wherever possible, follow the lead of the chairman and to be supportive of our efforts to become better known on the Internet and to become the greatest organization, democratic organization of blind people in this country.
Thank you, Mr. Hodge. Ms. Jackson.
Thank you. Thank you, Jay, for this question. And what I will say to you is we had some long and hard discussions at the beginning of BOP early on this last year about what we wanted to do, what ACB wanted to do, and we sought input from our esteemed secretary on BOP as well as Donna Pomerantz about things like Facebook and Twitter and what we wanted to do. And so when we established the policy and establish the language that the Board of Directors ratified, it certainly wasn't quickly, but it was long and a long and thought out process. I think that the implications for us could hold some monetary value because people are looking around the internet sometimes because they've got a lot of money and they think, gosh, what am I going to do with this? I mean, it's a, you know, can I get a tax write-off? Can I whatever? And then this, oh, look, there's those little blind people. Maybe I can give them some money. And so they may look at our Facebook page and look at what we're doing. And perhaps ACB could be the benefactor in that.
Ooh,
no missile
close.
For me? We'll be auctioning off the bell.
Last but not least, Mr. Ken Stewart.
This is Ken Stewart. And I hope that most people have an opportunity to utilize the candidates page, either on the website or by getting in touch with the national office for whatever their favorite format is, because this is almost exactly one of the questions that we all answered. And I answered it at some length, and it was maybe a complicated or circuitous answer, but basically it's a mixed bag. But as Judy and others have said, we've been working hard at it, trying to make it as useful as possible without penalizing people that are not techies. I've been reporting this week in terms of some other affiliates that have made advances in it. We want to, you know, talk to each other and learn from each other on it, but it's a very important issue, and the Board of Publications, I'm sure, will continue to be giving it a lot of attention. Thank you.
Thank you. We actually have four more people in the audience who are standing and have been for a while to ask questions. Here's what I'd like to propose. I'm going to let each of them ask a question, but let's make it a relatively quick one. And I'm going to, I don't think there'll be any penalty for anyone who is minded not to answer the question. Let's just see what thoughts people have over like a 30-second period for answering each of these questions. So let's go with the first one.
Okay, I'm with the first person.
Sarita Holliday. Thank you for the opportunity. My question is more basic. Given the opportunity as a elected spokesperson of this great organization, if you were presented with an invitation to address a freshman class of ninth grade students who are blind and visually impaired and their parents, drawing on your own personal experience, what pearl of wisdom, one single pearl of wisdom, might you share with them?
What a great question. This should be fun. Who wants to start? Yes, the question is, as a spokesperson for this great organization, the American Council of the Blind, if you had an opportunity to address a freshman ninth grade class in high school, what pearl of wisdom would you offer to that class and their parents?
I'd like to start.
All right.
I love this question because I love kids and love to get...
Remember,
in the
30
middle
seconds.
Of families. And the thing that I would say to them, I don't know how many of you receive emails from Paul when he sends them out from work, but I love, absolutely love what's at the bottom of his email. And it says, ability counts. And I would find 101 ways to talk to those parents and to that student about the fact that they don't need to dwell
Five
on
seconds.
Their disability, but their ability, and that the things that they do absolutely count.
Thank you. Anybody else want to tackle this one?
Yes.
Charlie Hodge.
Who wants it?
Charlie.
Who said I'll take it?
I thought I heard Charlie.
Well,
if
okay,
I
guess I got it.
Well, okay, go.
Okay.
Jeff Tom.
I would say that what I would like to express is the fact that if it weren't for being part of the Organized Blind, I would still be a shy, unself-confident, and probably unsuccessful person, rather than, at least as many perceive me, a successful attorney for the California legislature.
Really,
so I would tell them, learn to come to know blind mentors and participate in the Organized Blind movement. You won't regret it.
Thank you. Anybody else want
to? Where do you want to go? Who wants to
Pearl.
I heard Ray say me.
Ray
so.
Is next. Ray Campbell from the great state of Illinois for his pearl.
To the students, I would say follow your passion and don't let anybody tell you you can't do anything. And if they do, prove them wrong. To the parents, I would say love your kids. encourage them to be the best people they can be, and don't let them focus on their disability. Make them focus on their ability.
Thank you, Ray. Janet?
I'll take it. What I would tell them is make friends. Put yourself out there. Get to know people and let them get to know you, because having friendships in high school, the high school road is hard enough as it is for anyone, but if you have friends, that really makes it a lot easier.
Okay, Paul, I've got my mic. Who else?
Janelle.
This is Janelle. I have the mic.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I have the mic.
Yep.
I would tell them that you can do almost anything the sighted students can do, and everyone has their limitations, so that really doesn't make you any different from anyone else. And I would also encourage them to network with ACB.
Excellent. Mr. Holliday, sir.
Yes, I would encourage them to set goals. Do not give up on your dreams, because everyone has a disability. And to the parents, find out what those goals that those kids would like and encourage them to put forth effort to reach those goals.
Okay. Anybody else want to tackle it, or should we go on to the next question? All right. Marcia, I'm sorry, dear. Marcia. Okay. Everybody wants it. Okay. Miss Dresser. Presumably the mic is heading down in her direction.
Just pass it on.
Yeah.
There we go. Okay, sorry. Okay, I would tell parents, love your children, support them, but don't shelter them. I would tell kids, join activities, and so that you can make friends. I would also tell them, read and be literate, or you won't get a job. If you can't use large print efficiently, you need to learn Braille, and you need to embrace Braille.
Thank you. Mr. Stewart.
This is Alan.
Oh, Alan, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I have had many opportunities, actually, to address children in this age group. I've been sought out, I guess, as a role model for people with disabilities, and proving that persons, regardless of disability, have the ability to be successful. All that's needed is the opportunity and motivation to do so. So, I've had the opportunity, and that's my message to them. That
Thank
has
you.
Been my message.
Mr. Stewart.
My pearl of wisdom, each able in your own way, enabling together.
Each able in your own way, enabling together. Thank you, sir. All right. I think that's everybody.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Hodge.
The three other members have spoken, candidates for the BOP. I don't want to give the impression that I don't care about this issue.
Well,
I'd like to say that I concur with Ray Campbell in telling these ninth graders, dream. Don't give up your dreams. Set goals. Every great journey starts with one step. And step out and make affirmative efforts to achieve your goals. And don't let anyone say you can't do it. Now, for parents, I also think
10 seconds.
You love your children. You should support them. And in every way, tell them, go get it. Don't surrender.
Gosh. Didn't even have a chance to cock the weapon. All right. Another question from the audience. And you know, I think what I want to say is I don't think there is a requirement that everybody answer every question. If you have something in particular you want to say, then by all means say it. But I'm sure that the radio audience and the audience here won't judge people if they don't answer.
We got 5 minutes before automation cuts us.
Yes, hurry up. Quick question.
Okay, my question, I'm Marie Palmieri from California. My question is for the BOP, and that has to do with mainstreaming. Mainstreaming is a big issue in education, and I need to know what one skill, just one skill that you possess, and why that skill would help you with the articles that you have to go through, that you have to decide upon, and how you would get those into other publications to help us with mainstreaming. Thank you.
So what one skill do you have that you can, that you believe you can use to help the cause of mainstreaming? And just try to answer as quickly as you can, guys, and this is going to be the last question because we're about to go off the air.
Do you mean mainstreaming children or mainstreaming articles? I'm not following your question.
I think children.
Braille and strong language and editing skills.
Thank you. Next.
I've got it.
Yep. Just pass it among yourselves, guys.
Okay. We are.
Yep.
My ability to interact with people and to pass that along and communicate that.
Thank you. Next.
We're getting the mic to Ken. Just a second. Here, Ken.
The mountain's coming to Mohammed.
Here. Okay, why don't you wait and bring the mountain back too, Judy?
Thank you, because I charge overtime. But what I would bring to this is my experience in New York. I am certified by the State Board of Education to be an impartial hearing officer, and impartial hearing officers hear cases of parents challenging what a school district is doing for their special education kids, and I think that's an extremely valuable experience where there has to be balancing done between the child's needs and, you know, least restrictive environment requirements, and so I think that that would be my contribution.
Thank you. Next.
Anybody else want it?
Anybody else want it? Going once, going once. All right. Now we are about to we're about to lose our ACB radio audience, and so I think that I'll ask the candidates, would you like to start a 30-second sum up even if you get cut off in the middle? All right. Then we will start working backwards with the board. So we'll start with Jeff Tom. If it's not 30 seconds, the world won't end, Jeff.
That's right. I just want to say I have been given far more from each and every one of you in ACB than I'll ever get back. So, yes, I want to continue my work on the board, and I hope you will reelect me. But if I'm not reelected, I'm still going to work just as hard as I always have for this great organization. And I thank you very much for listening to each and every one of us.
Pass it backwards towards the other end of the board. Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to for me to present my case for election to the board of directors, and I'd appreciate your vote tomorrow. I believe I have many skills that I could bring to the board. I've served on many committees in our state affiliate, as well as in the broader disability community, as well as in the community of
5 seconds.
Of community at large. So thank you for the opportunity, and I look forward to the vote tomorrow. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Holliday.
Yes.
And that was Alan Peterson, by the way. Go ahead, Mr.
In my last 15 years of working in PCB, I have worked with a lot of great people and learned a lot from those. And on that, I like to bring some of those items to the board of ACB. Thank you
very much. Ms. Edwards, Janelle Edwards.
Nationally, here at ACB, I have served on the Internet Oversight Committee and the Constitution and Bylaws Committee, as well as serving in my state as secretary and other positions that I've talked about previously. I hope to bring my listening skills and my computer and communication technology skills to the National Board. I would appreciate your vote tomorrow. But however that turns out, I just wish the best for you and for ACB. Thank you.
Thank you. Janet Dickelman.
Thank you very much. I think I've learned more about ACB in the last month doing online registrations over the telephone than I have in all my years with ACB. Explaining to people, I think I did 125 online registrations over the phone, and explaining to people all about ACB. We had many first-timers in explaining all the programs and special affiliates that ACB has. It's an amazing organization, and I'd be honored to be a part of it on a national level. Thank you.
Thank you, Janet. And last but not least on the board side, Mr. Ray Campbell.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming tonight. I'm sure there are many things you could have been doing, but you came and listened to us, and I very much appreciate that. We've told you what our positions are, what we're going to do, and now it's up to you, and I look forward to that. Regardless how the vote turns out tomorrow, and I sure would appreciate your vote, but regardless how the elections turn out tomorrow, I'm going to commit to you that I'll continue to work for the greatest consumer organization of people who are blind or visually impaired, the American Council of the Blind.
Thanks, Ray. Larry, are we still up?
It cut. So
very good.
You can still keep going because I'll put the archive up on demand.
So let's go ahead and give the Board of Publications folks the opportunity to do their quick final run. And we'll start the other way with Marcia.
I'm very proud to be an ACB life member. I'm blessed with all the friends I've made here. Whether or not I am reelected, I will continue to work hard in ACB anywhere I can help. And thank you all for coming tonight. We really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Hodge. This is Charles S.P. Hodge.
I'm here tonight as, in a sense, the outsider. The other three members, elected members of the Board of Publications, have the endorsement of the nominating committee. And I would just say that I believe I have the kind of skills and experience that could be valuable to the Board of Publications. And I believe my skills as an attorney on legal issues would be a positive. And I just wanted to ask people for your vote tomorrow. And if elected, I will do my very best.
Thank you, Mr. Hodge. Judy Jackson.
Thank you. You know, I do two things in life. When I work very hard. And when I play hard. And that's what I will continue to do in this organization that I absolutely love being a part of, and as a way of ending, I just want to say that the last year and a half for me has been a rather dark year and a half, but it's been my work in ACB and literally the work in my local chapter at home that really made this last year bearable, and my friends in ACB. And that's why I give what I give to this organization, because like Jeff said, I'll never put in or be able to give to it what it's given to me. But I'll certainly work. As long as there's breath in my body, I'll continue to work to do that. And I really believe that we are an organization who really does know what blind people need in this country.
Thank you, Judy. And last, to end things for the evening, the illustrious Ken Stewart.
Yes, Ken Stewart, and I am honored to have had my name put forward by the nominating committee for re-election to the Board of Publications, and I am eager to continue to make contributions to this great organization in every way I can. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I'm going to pass it to my co-hostess, good old Janine, to see if she has any final words. It's been my pleasure. I'm Paul Edwards, Chair of the Board of Publications, and it's been my pleasure to host this evening's program. And here, for final words perhaps from her, is Janine Stanley.
Oh, my. Thank you. And actually, Paul did get the name right that time with Jamie. That is my legal first name, Jamie Janine Stanley. So on that note, he didn't get my sister Jackie, but maybe next year. It has been an honor to host this forum, folks, as someone who went through the election process a little over 10 years ago now. I know what these folks who are sitting up here have gone through. It is just amazing. I was at the other convention last week, and it had its pluses and its minuses. It didn't have a forum like this. And so we appreciate you all coming out. We appreciate our candidates giving of their time for you. Have a wonderful evening. And by the way, if those of you who wanted to know what the bomb was, well, we have an appointed guide dog on the BOP, and he was happy to donate to the ammunition that could have been used tonight. But you have such wonderful candidates for office that they didn't need it. So there you go. Have a good night, everyone. Stay safe, and have a safe journey home.
Thank you, Miss.
Vote early, vote often.
Turn them off.
I meant what I said. It's a highlight of my convention weekend.
Hey, wow, Paul.
And that will conclude this candidates forum coverage. And this will be on demand shortly.